strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Raider. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown. End zone for Fitz goes up and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
It was a couple weeks ago, Wolf, that we began the Big Red Rage by confirming that, yes, you can have a touchdown in the offseason. The Mars Rover. You know, touchdown confirmed.
We get it, Paulie.
Well, I just bring that up not only because I gave you and Pash your touchdown call this coming season, but, you know, the only thing better than NASA landing on the red planet would be what we've seen from Baker Mayfield here, a franchise quarterback with a UFO sighting. Have you seen that, Wolf? Baker,
you know what, Mayfield. I honestly, Paulie, I heard about it, but I have not seen it, Paul.
Well, he tweeted out, quote, almost 100% M and I, his wife, just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. This is Central Texas now. And it was a very bright ball of light, he said, coming down straight out of the sky. So, yeah, Baker Mayfield, 30 touchdowns last year, what, 9 interceptions in 18 games, and one UFO sighting. And by the way, Wolf, I bring this up because there have been reports that during the pandemic, UFO sightings are up 51%.
Oh, I bet they are, Paulie. I guarantee you. So is the liquor cabinet. I'm just saying right now, Paulie, honestly, was it a UFO? Absolutely. There are UFOs. They happen every day, Paul, in this country. UFOs are everywhere. They're called unidentified flying objects. That's what they're called, Paulie, and we see them all the time. There's just one big difference. There's not a bunch of little green men inside them, Paul.
So we bring that up to start Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford to show the difference between almost 100%, according to Baker Mayfield, and 100% extremely real in the acquisition of J.J. Watt. That is real. That just happened.
Boy, that does not. Do you believe that, Paulie? Honestly, right now, this is very, very similar to the DeAndre Hopkins deal when it came down. You woke up the next day and you kept saying, you know what, wow, we got this. We got D-Hop, man. We got DeAndre Hopkins, and you really could not believe it right now. Now, listen, J.J. Watt is a big name. There's no doubt about it. And if he stays healthy to me, Paulie, and I'm going to continue to say that because I think it is a valid thing to say in regard to a guy that's missed 32 games over the last 5 years. But if he stays healthy, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a slam dunk.
I mean, you've got, think about it. If HBO Hard Knocks ever did an off-season edition of Hard Knocks, to your earlier point, think of the last three off-seasons for the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, and now J.J. Watt.
You're saying it's pretty good? Is that it?
You know, it's not exactly the off-season. There's been a lot of really juicy storylines, and now you wonder, okay, what else might be coming? When you hear Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell, who said it again this week's Sirius NFL Radio, about how there's going to be, quote, a seismic shift, end quote, in talent across the NFL. That what's coming in the next 2 weeks, most of us don't expect the magnitude of movement when it comes to players. We've already seen some big names and big contracts get sliced from teams' payrolls. But there's going to be a lot of players moving, and there's going to be a lot of new acquisitions. And with the Arizona Cardinals having 28 unrestricted free agents going into this offseason, the potential to have a radically different roster, I mean, J.J. Watt might just be the start.
Oh, yeah, Paulie. No, I don't think there's any question about that. Did you see that cut by Michael, too? That quote by Michael went national. I don't know if you saw that, Paulie.
I did
this
not.
This morning, oh, yeah, they were doing it on, what is Greenberg's show, Get Up or something like that? They actually had that quote, and they were talking about it. This free agent period coming up in the National Football League, it's going to be unlike anything we have ever seen before. Speaking of UFOs, Paulie, this is going to be an unidentified free agent period.
Well, Joe Banner, now he can say things because he's a former executive with the Eagles and the Browns. He tweeted out earlier today, the league is about to go through four of the more interesting weeks ever. And he talked about all the change and what's going on behind the scenes. He says it's going to be a great opportunity for smart teams, tweet and tweet from Joe Banner. So TikTok, something is coming on that front with the league year starting March 17th. Here tonight on the Big Red Rage, Vance Joseph.
Yeah.
Defensive coordinator is coming. Can't wait for that. And we'll set the table for Vance Joseph next on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Under center, offset eye behind him. Adrian Peterson is the tailback. Receivers left and right. Here's the snap. Stafford back to pass. Looks, moves it out left side. Intercepted by J.J. Watt, and he's going to take it in for a touchdown. Matthew Stafford tried to make a quick throw. J.J. Watt reached up, snatched it out of the air, and runs it in for six. Westwood won. That was from Thanksgiving Day this past season. It's tradition in Detroit. You watch the Lions on Thanksgiving Day in Motown. Try not to lose your appetite. And then sit down with the family for Thanksgiving dinner. J.J. Watt, the 19-yard pick six. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, soon to be joined by defensive coordinator Vance Joseph. But Wolf, I think you mentioned it earlier. There was that moment when the Cardinals made the deal for DeAndre Hopkins. And we remember exactly where we were at that exact moment. Not unlike earlier this week. And where were you, Ron Wolfley, when the news broke that J.J. Watt, when he sent out the tweet, said, source, me, and he reported he was coming to the AZ?
Yeah, that blew my mind, Paulie. I was actually on the treadmill over at the compound, by the way, Paulie. Yeah, getting in my 5 miles, Paul. My 5 miles on the treadmill. Now, listen.
You might want to make it 10. Wolf, your offseason's Paulie, not tracking.
I'm just telling you right now, it wasn't like I was sprinting on it. Okay, right. Paul? It's a jog. It's called a jog at the compound here, okay? 5 miles per hour, and that's what I was doing. I was on the treadmill, and, Paulie, I could not believe it when I actually saw it.
When you're done with the treadmill, Wolf, do you do what J.J. Watt tweeted out today? Did you see the picture of how he finished up his workout in Wisconsin? On a frozen lake, taking an ice bath, cutting a hole in the ice, and instead of ice fishing, he dunked himself in the water for an ice bath.
No, Paulie, I did not see that, by the way, and you've got to be kidding me. This is the kind of guy, though, that the Arizona Cardinals are getting. This is a... You know what? It takes the body, it takes the soul, and it takes the spirit to play the game of football. And this guy's got all three things together. There's no denying it. This guy is a football player through and through. He's going to increase the physicality of this team. You know, Paulie, this is something I've been talking about all offseason. This is not an accident. Suddenly that you go out and get a guy like J.J. Watt, put his hand in the dirt, he makes you more physical on the line of scrimmage. And both sides of the ball, I think the Cardinals have got to get more physical, and this goes a long way in solving that issue.
Cardinals made the deal. I tweeted out, the Arizona Cardinals just addressed their biggest offseason need. Inconsistent energy, inconsistent intensity, inconsistent urgency.
There you go, Paulie.
Here's a guy that, to me, he's going to set the tone, all the above. Doesn't take a play off. You heard Cliff Kingsbury talk about it today. Not unlike a Tom Brady. His teammates don't want to disappoint him. You heard Michael Bidwell mention culture and leadership. Steve Keim echoed that as well. To your point, it's not a mistake that they signed a guy like J.J. Watt, and they were willing to pay him that sort of guaranteed money based on what we saw a year ago, which to me, bigger than any position group or any single player, the biggest problem last year was Week 16 coming out with all the intensity of a preseason game.
Paulie, I mean, honestly, right now, that's something that the two biggest things you and I have been talking about this offseason on Big Red Rage, it's the physicality of this team. I want to see this team hopefully get more physical on the line of scrimmage specifically. And then, of course, it was culture. who are we? We've got to build an identity here as to who we are and how we do things and how we go about our business for the most part. And I think J.J. Watt is a great guy to build around from that point. What you need are dogs, Paul. You need those dogs in the locker room, right? You need one dog to become two dogs, and then four, and then 16. And all of a sudden, you've got this little gaggle of dogs in that locker room. And you know what happens, Paulie? The cats start barking.
A few years ago, it revolved around Calais Campbell. Before that, Tyrann Mathieu. Now I think you have that guy back. And when he flew in with Michael Bidwill on Redbird 1, he got off the plane and had this to say.
I'm very excited. My wife and I are very excited to be here. Mr. Bidwill, Steve, everybody here has been unbelievable so far. And I'm just excited to get started. I'm very excited to get started, get to work, get to know the people of Arizona. And to go to work to try and help win a championship. The one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud. And I'm very proud to be a part of the Bird Gang in the Red Sea. So let's get started.
Man, and I love that, Paulie, right there, honestly, right? I mean, listen, he's not coming in here saying, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl and I'm going to have 20 sacks. And he's not promising anything like that. What I loved is he is promising what he can control. And what he can control is his effort. I love that promise by J.J. Watt.
Most sacks since 2012. Chandler Jones, number one, 97. J.J. Watt, number two in the NFL, 95.5. Pro Football Focus, the highest graded edge rusher since 2018. Number one, Khalil Mack. Number two, T.J. Watt. Number three, J.J. Watt.
Whoa.
And here's a guy who led the NFL last year, according to the analytics, in drawing double teams. With Chandler Jones, that's not likely to happen again. So what does that mean for the Cardinals' defense? We have questions. Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, is just the guy to ask for the answers. He is next on the Big Red Range, powered by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
J.J. Watt has just tweeted that he has signed with the Arizona Cardinals.
Whoa! J.J. Watt signing with the Arizona Cardinals. That came out of nowhere.
So this is it?
This is it.
Okay.
Let's go. I love the fit.
A massive deal for really one of the more up-and-coming teams in the NFL.
J.J. Watt coming to the NFC West. It just gets better and better and better.
That division is stacked.
My gosh. That's an outstanding sign.
From the Cardinals' point of view, this piece is the difference.
Excited for Arizona Cardinals fans. Look at Steve Kahn. Got his rest. Pushing buttons, making calls.
Let's go, J.J. Watt!
What?
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 He's JJ. What?
What? What?
He's big guy.
What?
Same as Houston.
What?
Had nosebleed.
What?
Tackles people.
What?
And he does this little dance.
There's an instantaneous reaction from Pat McAfee, one of the few guys who can match Ron Wolfley for energy. How about that?
Oh my goodness.
Preceded by Tom Pelissero, Ian Rappaport, Rich Eisen, Colin Cowherd, Sage Steele, a media montage by our Jim Omohundro there, christening the arrival of J.J. Watt to the Valley. And if we're fired up, and you know we are, what about the defensive coordinator, Ron Wolfley? What if you're Vance Joseph, who joins us now on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert? Vance, do we need to ask you how you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Vance. Thank you so much for joining us. Party over at the compound this weekend? Is that what it's going to be?
Absolutely. It was for, you know, one day. And after that, it's back to business. You know, free agency and the draft stuff's coming up. But obviously excitement this weekend in the building there.
So you heard the surprise from the national media. I know locally, none of us saw it coming. Vegas didn't even see it coming. They had put odds out on where J.J. Watt was going. Cardinals weren't even listed. At what point, because some reports said you ran point, quote unquote, on the recruiting effort as a former coach on the Houston staff when J.J. Watt got his start. So at what point in the process, tell us about the process, did you get a real good feel like, man, we've got a good shot here?
Well, when J.J. first asked for his release out of Houston, Steve called me and said, what do you think? I said, well, let's watch the film. You know, let's see what he has left. And after watching the film, man, I mean, we were really, you know, not surprised, but, I mean, he was still making plays. He was still winning one-on-ones. He was getting double-teamed an awful lot. He played over 1,000 snaps. And we thought, you know, to build our defense and get better quickly was to add a piece inside, you know, at the five technique and three technique that can win one-on-one. With Chandler Jones coming back and hopefully having Hassan Reddick or Sam Backer outside who can win one-on-ones, I mean, he is going to have a chance to, you know, be a real disruptor with our defense, you know. And after watching the tape, I mean, he was still playing well. Again, he was healthy, playing over 1,000 snaps, so it was a no-brainer. So from that moment on, it was a full court press on JJ. And the bottom line, I mean, he wanted the process to be really, really quiet. He wanted it to be, you know, off the radar some. So, you know, our people in the building did a great job of not leaking that we were involved with trying to sign JJ. And that part he respected. That was half the reason he stayed with us, because it never got out that we were involved with JJ. Obviously, he played for me in Houston, and he won his first Player of the Year award in this defense. You know, so he knows how it works. He knows that he can get one-on-ones, you know, on guards and centers constantly in this defense. So it was a perfect fit at the end of the day. You know, Steve and his team did a great job of making the financial part work. You know, my guys on defense called him and texted him and kind of showed him pictures of what it was going to be like, and it was a perfect fit, you know. And obviously, being in Arizona, I mean, this is a great place to live, you know. And you know, having Hop here, having Collar here, you know, I mean, it's a really good young team, and he knew that, you know. And he was excited to be here, man. But I wasn't surprised when he did sign, because it was great conversations for weeks at a time. You know, it was never a time I thought we couldn't get him. You know, I wasn't sure it was going to happen, but I. You know, it was constant, consistent communication on a daily basis. So we stayed in the mix the entire time.
You know, one of the things I love, Vance, is the fact that you have a personal relationship with J.J. Watt, of course, going all the way back to being the secondary coach in Houston. What do you remember about J.J. Watt when you were in Houston?
Well, I remember when we drafted J.J., you know, and, you know, we laugh about this all the time about – you know, in the draft room on draft day, it was really Wade that sold the GM on JJ, you know, because most of the room did not want JJ. It was more about Cameron Jordan at the time. You know, even when we drafted JJ, it was kind of booze in the Houston area, you know, but Wade did a great job of knowing what he was going to be, you know, and pushing to get JJ drafted there. But, you know, it was the year with the lockout, you know, so we didn't have an offseason at all, you know, so all the rookies and veterans came in and training camp, you know, proceeded and went to the season. And he was playing good football, but he wasn't J.J. Watt into the playoffs. And that week one playoffs against the Bengals, man, he played his butt off. And from that moment on, he became J.J. Watt. You know, he was always a hard worker. You know, he was always a high football IQ guy. He was always a playmaker. But it took him a while because, you know, we didn't have an off season. You know, it took him about, you know, 14 to 15 games to hit his peak. And once he hit it, man, it never stopped. But his nonstop motor, his nonstop work ethic was apparent day one, you know, and that chip on his shoulder has never gone away. Even to the day, he feels cheated. You know, he was a walk-on at Central Michigan as a tight end. Walked on at Wisconsin. You know, he got drafted in Houston. Everybody booed him, you know, so that chip on his shoulder is still there. And that's what made him successful, you know, over his career. And at this moment right now, you know, he still feels cheated. You know, he wants to get back to playing dominant football. And, you know, that part I welcome, because I know JJ is going to work his butt off. He's going to be a great example. He's going to be a great leader for our locker room. But most of all, he's going to be an impact player for us on defense.
Well, there are three players in NFL history to win three NFL Defensive Player of the Year awards. Lawrence Taylor, Aaron Donald, and J.J. Watt. So he won his first with Vance Joseph, our guest, the Cardinals defensive coordinator. It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Let me ask you what he does for your run defense. Because, Vance, we know you finished in the bottom third. And if I saw this right, he led the NFL in tackles for loss against the run. Is that an underrated part of his game?
No doubt. You know, our run defense, our first year was pretty good. You know, last year it wasn't as good. You know, and again, I mean, you can determine, you know, how good you want to be in run defense. Because it obviously, if you can if you can play too high and play shell stop the run, I mean, that's a dominant defense, you know. But, you know, if you have to load the box and add numbers, that makes you vulnerable in the pass game, you know. So you have to pick and choose your moments. But last year it wasn't good enough in the run game, especially in critical moments of the game, like 4 minute and, you know, first and 10, you know, to get teams in second and longer, you know. But JJ has always been an disruptor on first, second, and third down, you know. And in this defense, if the five technique is a 4-eye, I mean, he's going to be at the point of attack on the strong side, you know. So that strong side power, that strong side lead stuff won't crease us downhill, and it's going to allow our backers to run free and to make plays on the run game, you know. So, I mean, he just won't be a force in the pass game, but in the run game alike, with having Chan back on the open side, the ball can't go open side in the 3-4. It has to go strong side. And so having a, you know, big-time presence inside like JJ to push the ball out to the Sam backer, that's going to help us. You know, if, you know, first, second, third down, run pass, he is going to be a plus to our defense.
You know, it's interesting, Vance. You mentioned Chandler Jones right there. What's more dangerous in your opinion, J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones running games on the same side of the ball or rushing the passer on opposing edges?
Well, I'll say this. It's going to be times where they're going to be on the same side, you know, because a three technique, you know, to the, you know, Will backer side, you know, if he's a hot in the gap vertical guy in the B gap, it's going to allow Chan to have a two-way go and to come under sometimes, you know. So it's going to be times where you're going to see JJ and Chan together, but most of the time, you know, having those guys split, it's going to make the offense be honest in protections. You know, if JJ is a 4-eye or a 5 technique, it's no way they can double team him with a Sam off the edge, because the tackle has to go to the Sam, right?
Yes.
The center has to go to the nose guard. And that leaves that poor strong side guard one-on-one with JJ. And that's the beauty of the 3-4. You can dictate who blocks who, right? And if they keep the tight end in and they chip the Sam backer and push the tackle to JJ, you know, I mean, you just basically play zone coverage. And I mean, you're playing 4-for-2, you know, on top of the receiver. So having a force inside of the 3-4 defense is critical, because you can now dictate protections, and it can't simply, you know, bump to Sam or slide to Chan, right? It's going to be fair, and someone's going to get a one-on-one, and most of the time it's the strong side end, because the center has to go with the nose, the tackle goes to the Sam, and that poor strong side guard has to block JJ one-on-one.
So, Vance,
he made his first Player of the Year award in his defense.
Right.
And that was the reason he made it, because he got a bunch of one-on-ones inside. And even the run game, I mean, he had a bunch of TFLs that year and a bunch of sacks, you know, alone. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to be a force in both areas of defense, running pass.
So, Vance, it makes the offense more predictable. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It absolutely does. I mean, if we can dictate on true passing downs that it's two-man routes, now you're playing more zone and playing 4-for-2. You know, if they want to keep everybody in and block J.J. Watt and block Chandler and block our Sam backer, that's perfect. You know, we can play more shell and play, you know, top-down quarters coverage and eat up two receivers with four DBs. If they want to get five guys out, they have to block those guys one-on-one.
Right.
You know, and that's a problem. And when you watch our tape from last year, we had a lot of times where we had five guys rushing and they were one-on-one, you know, and we didn't win quick enough. You know, but with J.J. Watt, who can still win one-on-one, if they do that, he's going to win quickly, and it's going to make our pass defense better.
All I know is it's 3rd and 11, and a quarterback comes to the line of scrimmage, and he looks to his left, he's got Chandler Jones, he looks to his right, he's got J.J. Watt, then he looks at Isaiah Simmons mugging the A-gap, and Buda Baker's flashing from the other side, and there's a lot to consider if you're a quarterback at that moment. And I get all that and what he does for your defense. Let me ask you, what does he do for your locker room? Because you can't help but notice how Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell, Vance, have all cited his leadership. And we know last year at times intensity and urgency and energy was inconsistent. So how far can one guy go when it comes to culture?
He's going to be huge for that, you know. And obviously in professional sports, man, it's grown men, you know. And every coaching staff, guys, is preaching, doing it right, you know, playing fast, working hard, save your money, you know, be good pros, all those things, right? But honest to God, the culture is pushed through the players.
Yep.
And when your best players are your best people, when your best players are your best workers, right, that dictates your culture. You know, so having a J.J. Watt, you know, having a Larry Fitzgerald there, that dictates your culture because those guys set the tone, you know, for practice, for extra work, for study, for treatment, right? It goes through the players. And you know, once it happens with culture and it gets rolling, it's easy to see and it's easy, you know, to maintain, but it goes through players. So having J.J. Watt here as an example of how to work, you know, how to study, how to be a great pro, you know, how to play with energy every single down. Because, I mean, this guy, again, guys, I mean, he feels cheated in life. You know, he still feels cheated. You know, so he's going to walk in the locker room, guys, and he's going to be on 100 every single day. I mean, he's a guy you have to pull back from practicing so much because he will burn himself out. You know, by week 8 or 9, I mean, he's burned out from just practicing. So it's going to be a great example to watch him work, to watch him, you know, study how to be a great pro, even in the community. I mean, this guy is so awesome in the community, you know, as far as raising money, you know, for the hurricane efforts in Houston, all those things, you know, how to handle the media. He's a great example, you know, for young guys to follow and to mimic, and he's also still playing good football. So, again, if you're trying to build something, you know, with a young team, and it's always good to bring in examples of what it looks like. He's been on teams that won 13 games and 12 games. He's been on teams that's won 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, he won't be immune to building something. You know,
that's
the great part about having JJ. He's been on all kind of teams. He's built teams. He's been on great teams. He's been on young teams also. But, you know, his example, his leadership is going to go through the roof because that part you have to have. And as much as coaches want to be, you know, be that beacon in the locker room, we can't be. You know, coach-led teams only go so far, and player-led teams win championships. You know, so having JJ in that locker room is going to be huge for our team. They're going to have a real example of what it looks like on a daily basis.
Vance, had a coach once say to me that if you get enough dogs in a locker room, even the cats start barking. So I thought that was...
Absolutely. Absolutely. It goes to the players, man.
Exactly.
And, you know, every coach in the country is screaming the same thing, right? Every coach wants you to do it right. Practice hard, study, do extra. But I'm telling you, until an example shows up, those young players have no idea what it looks like or if it's worth it.
Yep.
And I mean, he would show this young player, it's worth it, man, to work hard.
Vance, you know? I have to ask
you this. He's self-made, guys. He's a self-made guy.
Totally, absolutely. Listen, JJ played, as you know, a ton last year. Over 1,000 snaps last year. Do you anticipate him getting that many snaps in 2021, or are you going to kind of monitor his snaps?
I hope not, guys. I hope not. But it's going to be a chore to sit JJ down. You know, but hopefully we can have a nice, you know, rotation with Zach and those guys and Rashad Lawrence and Lucky. We've got a bunch of good young players, you know, sitting behind him who needs reps. You know, so I think having those young players behind him and convincing JJ that quality is going to be better for us than quantity, you know, and, you know, we can get him out there on the critical downs, you know, especially the third down, the second and long, the first of the series. Those things are going to help him obviously stay, you know, healthy and to be fresh later in the season. But to play over 1,000 snaps at his age, that shows you guys his work ethic and, you know how he trains, man. He trains like an animal, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's going to be in great shape, you know. And Jay and I was laughing about Reggie White. You know, Reggie White signed with Green Bay leaving Philly. I think Reggie White was, you know, 31, 32 years old.
He was.
You know, when he went to Green Bay, and he had 60-plus sacks, guys.
Yep.
You know, so this is not different. It's happened before. And, you know, very similar players, dominant inside rushers, guys who take care of themselves, and freak of natures, you know. So hopefully he can have the same success that Reggie had in Green Bay. But it's going to be a chore to pull JJ back. But we're going to have a plan for him to understand, like, Jay, man, you know, he'll give some of those snaps to Zach.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's 5 years old. You know, give him 20 of those snaps, and you can obviously, you know, have more quality than quantity. But, he's going to want to practice every day and play every down. So that's going to be a weekly conversation on, you know, how we manage his reps to keep him fresh and healthy throughout the playoffs.
Well, Vance, we don't know if you did any recruiting at the college level and coaching in college, but you did a heck of a job recruiting here. So, you know, on behalf of the whole Valley and the Red Sea, they appreciate your recruiting efforts.
Well, awesome, man. I mean, it was easy to do. I mean, that's a great player and a great person. And, you know, as a recruiter, man, you don't want to bring anybody to your program that you're going to be embarrassed about. And I know JJ, you know, and he's going to be a player for us. You know, that's in his heart. You know, I texted JJ a week ago. I said, man, you know, we need your leadership and your example. He texts back right away. He said, DJ, no, man, I'm coming to dominate first as a player, and I'll be an example and leader for you.
Hey, Vance.
I'm coming to play ball. So that's JJ.
Vance, so happy, man, for you. And have fun with JJ, okay?
I will do, man.
Thank you, Coach.
We'll talk to you soon. Vance Joseph, Cardinals defensive coordinator, back with more on the Big Red Rage next.
Shotgun. Left-hand handle the snap. Ball is free. Knocked around. And it's controlled by Watt. Picked up. Running with it to the 40, to the 30, to the 20. He's gone. Touchdown. What can he do? J.J. Watt all the way. 45 yards on the fumble return.
Oh, that Westwood One Iron Eagle right there, J.J. Watt with the scoop and the score, the fumble return. And you heard Vance Joseph drop Reggie White. And special thanks to the Cardinals defensive coordinator. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. You know, Wolf, that's an apt comparison in a couple of ways. Number one, J.J. Watt talked this week on a podcast that as a Wisconsin guy, he grew up watching Reggie White.
Mm-hmm.
He vividly remembers Reggie White at the same age coming to the Packers and then just having an unbelievably stellar run with the Packers. In fact, the stat is that the only two players in NFL history to post three or more seasons with at least 17 and a half sacks in that season would be J.J. Watt and Reggie White. Think about that. Think about keeping that sort of company. And then listen to this, because you heard it at the press conference this week, and it bears repeating. Here's the Q&A. It's all of 5 seconds, but it's all you need to know about that intensity that Vance Joseph referred to with J.J. Watt.
How much gas do you feel like you have left in the tank?
A lot. A whole lot.
It wasn't just the short answer and getting right to the point and leaving it there. That's the entirety of the answer. It was the look in his eye.
Yes.
At the question itself. And, Wolf, that's the sort of look I look forward to in the Cardinals front seven.
Absolutely, Paulie. I took the mouth guard and stuck it in, Paul, when he said that. It was like, yeah, let's go! Let's go! You know, the look on his face, the square jaw, and the intensity, the fire in the pupils, you could actually see it. Listen, this is stuff, once again, I predicate everything I'm about to say by saying if, in fact, he stays healthy, and I think that's a relevant conversation, or at least a point of conversation you have to have. But here's a guy that last year, over 1,000 snaps, I can't say it even more than that, Paulie, over 1,000 snaps, and it's going to be really, really interesting to see how exactly Vance Joseph uses him. He's going to use him all the way across the board. But you know what? It makes an offense more predictable, Paul. This is something that I was talking to you about, especially in regard to Chandler Jones and the use of Chandler Jones. Now, all of a sudden, you can almost guarantee what kind of protection you're going to get when you get J.J. Watt, and that allows Vance Joseph to scheme. When he can almost guarantee, if he puts J.J. Watt and he puts Chandler Jones, by way of example, on the same side of the ball, he can almost guarantee what kind of protection he's going to get. And because of that, you can blitz that better.
Yeah, that was intriguing. Yeah, those on the same side, him talking about using J.J. Watt at the 3 technique, the 5 technique, him talking about getting him one-on-ones against guards and centers. That's how he excelled back when Vance was the DB coach with Houston. So that was all intriguing. And then, you know, he just talked about the mindset and the makeup of the guy. And Vance's quote was, he feels cheated, quote unquote, talking about being a walk-on at Central Michigan and Wisconsin. And then, you know, it just, so that stayed with him, not unlike a Tom Brady, who still talks about being drafted in the 6th round.
Sure.
So you have that dynamic there. And then you have March 17th, which is coming up, the start of the league year. What does this mean for the Arizona Cardinals cap and what else they can do with the roster? Well, Steve Keim was asked about that.
I don't feel like we're drastically limited. I think we have some flexibility moving forward, and that's why we structured the contract the way we did. We have a window in time where we can do some different things and be flexible, yet at the same time, we have to be smart with it. And I have to look at the future moving forward in the next 3 years and always take a different view than a lot of people do.
So that's Steve Keim. What'd you make of some of his comments about where the Cardinals go from here? Because there are definitely needs, like the secondary and cornerback.
Yeah, the one thing about it, Paulie, you just don't know what's going to happen when you stop and think about it, right? I mean, you've got Larry Fitzgerald, and who knows if Larry comes back, and if he comes back, for how much money is he coming back? I have no idea what that is going to be. I think we're going to see some restructuring of contracts. I think we're going to see cuts, Paul. June 1st cuts, guys that will be released now that might be actually designated for a June 1st cut. I think we're going to see a lot of different moves by the front office right now, and that's kind of hard to predict. I'm not trying to dodge your question at all, Paulie, but it is difficult to predict what is going to happen here.
Well, Patrick Peterson, if he wants to test the market, for example, what is he going to command in the marketplace at his age and coming off last season? Hassan Reddick, what do other teams make of Hassan Reddick, who's in his prime?
Yes.
And you figure he wants to see what his worth is on the open market. But how are other teams going to approach him when everybody's restricted by the cap to a large degree? Some teams obviously have more cap room than others, but you know, a lot of that, I'm guessing, reading between the lines of what Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell told you and Doug last week, Wolf, that some of these free agents are going to get a sobering realization here in 2 weeks as to what's truly available in the reduced cap world.
Yeah, you know, and once again, too, I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to have a lot of snaps coming back from guys that were injured last year. I mean, you think of just Jalen Thompson. There's a guy right there, Paulie, where they had to cover a lot of those snaps of Jalen Thompson. Yet Jalen Thompson, when he was starting and getting the opportunity to play alongside Buda Baker, man, I thought Jalen Thompson, Paulie, played really, really well. And there's a guy, if they can just get him healthy, he comes back. Maybe last year was a complete anomaly for Jalen Thompson. He comes back. Hey, you know what? You're replacing a lot of snaps with a guy you know can play. It's kind of like Chandler Jones. Everyone talks about all the snaps the Arizona Cardinals have got to replace via free agency, and they do. There's no denying that. They have, what, 28 yep. Unrestricted free agents and restricted free agents as well. They've got a lot of different guys they've got to replace. There's no doubt about it, but once again, man, if you've got Chan coming back, he's going to eat an awful lot of snaps, isn't he, that you had to replace last year. And would you say Chandler Jones is an upgrade over anybody that actually was eating up those snaps last year? I would say yes.
Yeah, if I'm Russell Wilson right now and you're looking at the addition of J.J. Watt and the return of Chandler Jones in a division with Aaron Donald and company, you might want to expand your list of teams that you're going to consider a trade to if you're Russell Wilson at this point. And you're right. I mean, Chandler Jones, for example, coming back, well, that's something easily his contract could be extended and the cap number could be reduced greatly. So there are other maneuvers that Steve Keim, I'm sure, and company have in mind in the Cardinals front office to create even more cap room. We'll see. That is less than 2 weeks away. Let's talk about the other factor involved in this, and that's the quarterback next in the Big Red Rage.
J.J. Watt with the sack. 20 and a half on the year. The first player in NFL history with 20 or more sacks in two seasons of his career.
I would say J.J. Watt has the type of presence that you don't want to let him down. And you've heard some of those quotes come out of Tampa with Tom, and guys just don't want to let that type of player with that type of work ethic and that type of, you know, legend, they don't want to let him down. They don't want to be that guy that doesn't hold up their end of the bargain. And J.J. brings a similar presence with all he's accomplished and his work ethic and the type of person he is.
There you go. That's Cliff Kingsbury. Earlier today, we just heard from Vance Joseph on this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. And we asked him about that, Wolf. How much impact can a single player have? Because we've witnessed that before in whether it was Kurt Warner, whether it was Carson Palmer, the impact one guy can have on an entire locker room. And Vance's response was that culture is pushed through the players. and that's how it's dictated. When your best players especially are the ones dictating that culture. Your decade in the NFL, would you agree with that statement?
Oh my goodness, Pauly, are you kidding me? I talk about it all the time. I really do. I talk about your best players have got to model that culture for everybody else, Pauly. Your best players have got to do it. J.J. Watt is going to be one of their best players, and because of that, he's going to be modeling the culture and the mentality of this team for everybody else. I cannot stress enough how important this is. This is something I was talking to Herm Edwards about this very thing as well, Pauly, and Herm was saying that, you know what, honestly, you need war daddies is what he called them. He called them war daddies.
Herm.
You need these war daddies in the locker room, and suddenly their mentality starts to spread to guys that are not naturally as aggressive as these war daddies are, or dogs, as I would call them right here. And J.J. Watt is a dog, and he's going to help that mentality spread in that locker room. And I think he's going to have an impact not only on players, Pauly, but on the coaching staff as well.
It's like Tyrann Mathieu tweeted out during the playoffs this past year where he said, the smallest dog in the yard, it's still my yard. That's Tyrann Mathieu. That's his mindset. You know, that's what I think of when you think of that.
And he is a dog.
Yes, you think of that mentality. So, okay, you have that. And look, if you can't play – you can't lead. We know that. The other axiom in the NFL is no QB, no chance. And everybody knows that. And we've lived through that at times as well. So there's no fluke that J.J. Watt, as he was being recruited, identified teams with franchise-capable quarterbacks. In fact, beyond that, J.J. Watt said he flashed a little leadership when it comes to young Kyler Murray.
He's been a winner at every stage of his life. That's not a coincidence. You're a winner because of the way that you work and because of the aura that you give off and because of the talent that you have. And I think that he has all of those things, and he's going to continue to win and continue to have success. And that's a part of the reason that I'm here. I told him in a text, I said, I'm here because I believe in you. You have to have a quarterback in this league to have a chance, and he's our guy, and I'm looking forward to going out there and playing with him.
Your reaction to that, and what do you think that does
this
for
is gonna
Kyler
be,
Murray?
Yeah, Pauly, this is going to be great because J.J. Watt, from what I'm told, he's one of the first guys into the building and one of the last to leave. So now all of a sudden it's going to be a race between Kyler Murray hopefully being one of the first guys into the building and when he's going to leave as well, or maybe there's going to be a conversation between J.J. Watt and Kyler Murray. I'm not saying there is, Paul. I'm
right.
Just telling you right now that that could happen.
I just, you know, I think of last year, and I think of a game like Week 16 where the team came out flat. And then I wonder, how much of an impact would J.J. Watt have had in that game? Would that have happened against the Niners in Week 16? What do you think? Is it realistic to think it would have been different?
Absolutely. The level of play is going to even out with J.J. Watt in that locker room.
All right, we'll wrap up this edition. In fact, we'll talk more about the leadership and wrap this up. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
If you can't come in and put work in the building, go out to the practice field and work hard, do your lifts and do what you're supposed to do, you should not be here. This is a job. We are getting paid a whole lot of money. There are a lot of people that watch us and invest their time and their money into buying our jerseys and buying a whole bunch of shit. And they care about it and work 4 and 11. So if you can't go out there and you can't work out, you can't show up on time, you can't practice, you can't want to go out there and win, you shouldn't be here, because this is a privilege. It's the greatest job in the world. You get to go out and play a game.
I think we all remember that. It was late December and the Houston Texans en route to a 4-win season. And there was at least one guy who cared, and cared deeply. And that was a rant, an all-timer from J.J. Watt. And you know what? When you're second all-time in NFL history in sacks per game to Reggie White, then guess what? You have the field cred to go on that sort of rant. But again, it's what Vance Joseph told us earlier in the show, right, Wolf, that this culture is pushed through the players, and he's that guy that the rest of the team, and especially the defense, feeds off of J.J. Watt.
Yes, Pauly, you got to have that. You got to have these guys walking around modeling that culture. Listen, a 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, a 5-time first-team All-Pro, 5 Pro Bowls, right? 2010, he was the unanimous all defensive team, all decade team, as a matter of fact. This guy has all the credibility you could possibly think of right now. So when he walks into that locker room, he's going to have a ton of respect. This is going to allow the Cardinals to be more physical on the line of scrimmage, and it's going to improve their culture dramatically. And those are the biggest two things they needed to do and address this offseason.
So a guy who could retire today and be a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, a guy who most definitely has arrived, walks around, according to Vance Joseph, his former coach with the Texans, feeling like, quote, he feels cheated. That's the mentality that you get with a J.J.
Paul,
Watt.
That's a chip in the heart, Paul. Not on the shoulder, in the heart.
And that's what Steve Kimehope is talking about when he says he has an infectious personality. Special thanks to Vance Joseph, Cardinals defensive coordinator Jim Omohundro, and Cody Fincher. For Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. This has been the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.